It's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. With yours truly, Bill Goodwin, and the music of Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. For deep down laughs and listening enjoyment, it's George and Gracie. And for deep down coffee drinking enjoyment, it's Maxwell House. With extra flavor in the blend because of choice Latin American coffees, skillfully combined. Extra flavor in the cup because Radiant Roast develops the full flavor of every coffee bean. And the result is that today more people buy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee in the world. Now let's look in for our first visit of the new year at the Burns home.
I'm so proud of you, George. You've kept your New Year's resolution for 3 whole days.
Well, it's because I've got a strong character.
Oh, and such a difficult resolution. To smile and be pleasant to everybody and not let things upset you.
I just made up my mind, that's all.
Oh, you've been wonderful, dear. When I asked you if I could buy a new hat, you said no with such a sweet smile.
That's right.
And when I bought it anyhow, you just went quietly into the bathroom and ran cold water on your head.
Yeah, I'm a changed man.
Nothing seems to bother you at all. Not even last night's terrible dinner. The soup was too salty, the potatoes were raw, and the chops were burned.
It was pretty bad, all right.
Oh, yeah. But did you get angry? No. You just took off your apron and said, well, I'll do better next time.
Well, I just resolved that nothing will upset me. I'm going to smile no matter what.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Even when I stutter, I smile.
Yes. Oh, George, I have some news for you.
What?
My mother's coming to visit us. Well, George, where's your smile?
I'm smiling.
But, George, would you rather my mother didn't come?
Well,
don't be afraid to tell me. Ours isn't that kind of a marriage. If you don't want to hear, just say so. I'll understand.
Well, as long as you feel that way, I...
Oh, yeah? Well, she's coming anyway.
Look, honey, we don't get along. Your mother hates me.
Oh, she does not. There are just a couple of things about you she can't stand. Now, if you changed them, she'd be crazy about you.
What couple of things?
Your looks and your personality.
Yeah, she's mad about me.
Oh, my goodness. All this fuss because my dear, sweet mother wants to visit us. Don't you know that I'm her own flesh and blood?
Make it just her blood. When you get her flesh, I'm leaving you.
George, I promise you Mama will only stay with us until the painters finish her new house.
When will the painters finish?
Well, they can't stop painting until the house is built.
They haven't built the house yet?
Well, they will as soon as they find a lot.
Your folks haven't even got a lot?
Well, you can't buy one without money.
And when will they get the money?
Papa should get a job any day now.
In other words, your mother drops in on us for around 30 years. I'm sorry, Gracie, but it's either your mother or me. If she comes, I go.
You mean I've got to choose between my mother and the man I love?
That's it.
Well, there's only one choice I can make.
Naturally.
I'm going to miss you, George.
You mean ta-ta? Well, I won't go. I'm not leaving.
Well, I'm sure there's room for both of you. We'll fix up the den for Mother.
Honey, look. Los Angeles is filled with returned servicemen looking for a place to stay. Now, if we're going to fix up the den, let's fix it up for one of them.
Well, are there really a lot of homeless servicemen?
Well, just listen to these ads in the morning paper. Discharged soldier needs home for family. Discharged soldier desperately needs room. Discharged soldier must have lodging.
Oh, those poor men. No place to live and the army has fired them from their nice job.
Gracie.
Oh, George, you go down to the draft board and see if you can get those men their jobs back.
Believe me, that they don't want. Just a place to live.
All right. I'll tell Mama to stay in San Francisco, and we'll fix up the den for a serviceman.
Now, that's the spirit. Gracie, when the den is fixed...
Yeah, oh, come in.
Good morning, folks.
Good morning, Meredith.
Hi, Meredith. What's new?
Well, I've got a new haircut, George. Went out for one this morning.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes, I enjoyed it. I usually cut my hair in the house, but it's such a nice day that I went out and cut it in the yard.
Looks like you use the hedge clippers.
No, they're a little too heavy to get a good grip on.
Oh, yes, they're heavy.
Would you like some breakfast, Meredith?
No, thanks, Gracie. Matter of fact, I just dropped in for a minute to tell George the finish of my joke about the porcupine.
If you don't mind,
I started
Meredith.
To tell it at your party, but I never did get to pull the snapper.
Meredith, if you start that again, so help me.
George, remember your resolution. Smile.
Oh, sure. Go right ahead, Meredith. Pull the snapper.
Okay. Ha! Speaking of porcupines, I'm reminded of the little blue-eyed father.
Meredith, I remember how it began. Just tell me the finish. The snapper.
Gee, I'd like to oblige, George, but I memorized the joke just the way it is in my book. And if I don't start at the beginning, I can't remember how to pull the snapper.
Well, let her snap.
Speaking of porcupines, I'm reminded of the little blue-eyed toddler who chanced to go into the zoo one day.
You have to start from the beginning every time?
That's right, Gracie. Speaking of porcupines... I am reminded of the little blue-eyed toddler.
You couldn't stop now and then keep going?
No, afraid I couldn't. Ha! Speaking of porcupines...
Wow, that's amazing.
Ha! Speaking of porcupines...
I can't believe it, George.
Ha! Gracie, listen. Let him finish before the little blue-eyed toddler grows up and gets married.
Oh, I'm sorry. I won't say another word, Meredith.
Ha! Speaking of porcupines, I'm reminded of the little blue-eyed toddler who chanced to go into the zoo one day with her governess. As they passed the porcupine cage, the little tyke was heard to exclaim, "My, what a strange-looking beast. What do you say to that?" interrogated the curious governess. Whereupon the child replied, "Because he has such a...
Well?
How do you like that, a forgotten a snapper?
Well, that's fine.
But don't worry, George. I'll go read my book and brush up on it.
I wish you wouldn't bother, Meredith.
No, it's no trouble at all. After all, I live right next door.
Yes, I know.
That makes it mighty handy when a fellow's got some snappers he wants to pull. I'll be back.
I wonder if Meredith has a long lease on that house next door.
Oh, yeah, he probably has. With this terrible housing shortage, anyone who has a place is hanging on to it.
Say, that reminds me. Let's go in the den and fix it up for that service.
All right. Oh, I'll bet this room will look mighty good to a boy who's been on those islands like Okinawa and Guadalcanal and KP and Guam.
KP? That's an island?
Well, it must be. Meredith Wilson was in the Army for 3 years, and he said he spent most of it on KP.
Oh, yeah. It's a small island surrounded by dishwater. I started to hang these pictures here the other day. Do you think the serviceman will like them?
Oh, yes. And I'll run to the market and get some tomatoes to scatter around.
What for?
Well, I heard dozens of returning servicemen say the first thing they want to do is find a beautiful tomato.
Yes, they like vegetables. Just hand me the hammer and nail.
Oh, please, George, don't do any hammering. We haven't any iodine to put on your finger.
Don't be silly. Give me the hammer.
Oh, all right, here.
And I'm not going to hit my finger. Who are you calling?
Phil Goodwin, to bring over his first aid kit.
You're wasting your time. I'm not going to hit my finger.
Hello, Bill? Would you rush right over with your first aid kit? George just hit his finger.
Ouch!
With a hammer.
There you are, George. Your finger's all bandaged.
Thanks, Bill.
Oh, what do you think of our idea of taking in a veteran, Bill?
Oh, it's swell, Gracie. We got a Marine sergeant staying at our house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And boy, when they've been overseas for a while, how they love to celebrate. Every night I take the sergeant out and we make the rounds.
Well, it's nice of you to do that, Bill.
Oh, well, I don't mind, Gracie. She's very pretty.
should have known.
Well, I don't think we'll have a service woman. It's too dangerous. I wouldn't want her to walk in here, starve for the sight of a man, and find my George.
No, she's done her part. We shouldn't let her down now.
There goes the comedian. Well, I'm not anxious to have any lonesome female around, even if she is pretty. She'd probably want me to dance with her and go driving with her, and she might even want to go parking someplace and... Say, that's not bad.
Get George.
Just kidding, dear.
Oh, there's Meredith at the door.
Oh, no, not the porcupine again. Look, Gracie, slip out the back way. Run next door to Meredith's and get that joke book of his.
Oh, in case he forgets the story again, huh?
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Now hurry.
Yeah, all right, dear.
Hey, shall I open the door, George?
Bolt it.
Bolt it?
Bolt it.
Well, okay. What's the big idea?
Meredith insists on telling me jokes from that corny book of his.
Oh, George, you don't know how poor Meredith feels when you don't laugh at his jokes. What if people didn't laugh when you told it? I guess you do know how he feels.
Never mind.
Anyone home in there? I'm back with the snapper.
Be real quiet, Bill. Maybe he'll go away.
The coast is clear, George. Meredith left.
I wish we could get him to leave that house next door. If I hear, ha! Speaking of porcupines, once more, I'll blow my top.
Well, George, I got it. Here's Meredith's joke book.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, I've been reading some of the stories in it. They're silly.
You said it. Especially the one about porcupines.
Ha! Speaking of porcupines.
Oh, no.
Say, Meredith, don't you think when folks hear that familiar strain, just about everybody knows what you're playing?
I'm sure they do, Bill. I think practically the whole world must know the Missouri Waltz. Listen just for a moment.
Yes, the Missouri is certainly a name that's just as familiar to American music as the river itself is to the American scene. As you know, the Missouri River is part and parcel of so many names rich in American lore. Why, its headwaters are formed by the Madison, the Gallatin, the Jefferson. Then as it winds across the Great Plains, it picks up the Big Sioux, the Kansas, the Osage. All names so familiar to our American scene. And I can't help thinking, too, how today there's another name that's become part and parcel of our American scene, of so many American homes. It's the name Maxwell House, signifying a coffee blend of true distinction, combining these fine Latin American coffees, Manizales for mellowness. Medellin's for richness. Other choice Latin American coffees for vigor. And Bucaramangas for full body. So, it's no wonder that the famous name Maxwell House is known all over this great land of ours for full-flavored, fine coffee. Good to the last drop. Mm-hmm.
Oh, George, I'm so glad you talked me into fixing up the dent for a serviceman. I had no idea the housing shortage was so bad.
It's bad, all right. And there seems to be more people looking for houses in Los Angeles than any place else. I wonder why.
Well, it's our famous California climate, of course. As long as we have this weather, there'll never be enough houses to hold the people.
There won't, huh?
No, they keep washing away.
I hadn't thought of that.
Oh, yes. Los Angeles has the biggest housing problem of any city. Do you know there's actually a family living in the balcony of an all-night movie theater?
That must be a strange life.
Yeah, but they're getting used to it. They go to sleep at 10 minutes to Mildred Pierce and wake up at 5:30 Spellbound.
Well, that's a good time to wake up. The fella can borrow Gregory Peck's razor and shave himself.
Yeah, and then there's a young married couple I know. They finally found a place. Just one closet.
Well, one closet ought to be big enough for their clothes.
Not after they got the bed and stove in there.
Oh, the closet is all they have.
Yes, oh, but they have lovely neighbors.
Well, that helps.
Yeah, the people who live in the bathroom are very friendly.
Well, let's decide on the serviceman who's going to get our dent.
All right. I don't care who he is as long as he's not a sergeant.
What's the matter with sergeants?
Oh, nothing, but they don't need our help. They're all taken care of.
They are?
Oh, yes. All the soldiers say, the minute I'm out, I'm going to take care of that sergeant of mine.
Well, yes, the boys love those sergeants. Look, Gracie, why don't you read all the ads in the paper and pick out the serviceman who needs a room the most?
Yeah, that's a good idea. And then I'll pick out a serviceman just as soon as I see who's at the door.
Good morning, Mrs. Burns.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Postman. How are you today?
In fine fettle, Mrs. Burns. Under my glowing skin, my red and white corpuscles are calling Happy New Year to one another.
Oh, how nice of you. You know, I'm sorry I got you into trouble last week by telling you to bring Mamie to our party. I thought Mamie was your wife.
No, her name is Bertha, but I usually call her Butch.
And what does she call you?
Oh, you're much too young to hear that.
Well, when your wife found out about Mamie, I'll bet she really made a fuss, huh?
You know, Mrs. Burns, I didn't hear her say one cross word.
You didn't?
No, I was unconscious for 2 days.
Well, you know, it's so unfair the way she bullies you. You're the breadwinner, but she acts like she gave you the roof over your head.
If she could lift it, that's where I'd get it.
Well, Mr. Postman, why don't you leave her?
Where would I go? There's such a housing shortage.
Yeah, that's true. We just fixed over our den for an ex-serviceman.
My wife's brother, an ex-serviceman, is living with us. But there was no room in the house. We had to put some gunny sacks in the corner of the garage. Yeah.
How uncomfortable.
Yes, I hardly sleep a wink.
Well, Mr. Postman, look at it this way. You owe him something. While he was over there fighting and risking his life, you were home with your wife where it was safe.
Goodbye, Mrs. Burns. Remember, keep smiling.
Man who needs a room the most.
Good.
Now listen to this. Place to live urgently needed by returned soldier with wife, small daughter, baby son, and parrot.
But, honey, where would they all sleep?
Oh, don't worry about that, dear. I figured it all out. The soldier and his wife will take our room. The children will take the den. I'll take the couch in the living room, and we'll hang the parrot's cage in the pantry.
And where will I sleep?
We'll put an ad in the paper.
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, well, we'll work that out. Now, listen to the rest of my schedule. In the morning, you get up at 5 o'clock.
I haven't been to bed yet.
Well, that saves you the trouble of getting up. Now, you wake the soldier. He takes the shower and wakes his wife. She takes the shower and wakes me. I take my shower, and then the soldier's wife bathes the 2 children.
How about me?
Oh, you're big enough to bathe yourself.
there's any hot water left.
Well, next comes breakfast. First the soldier eats, and then his wife eats, then the children eat, and then I eat, and then the parrot eats.
Then I have breakfast.
No, by that time it's lunchtime.
Nice schedule.
Now, first the soldier eats lunch, then his wife eats, then the children eat, then I eat, and then the parrot eats.
Oh, no, he doesn't. I just ate the parrot for breakfast. Now, look, honey, as much as I want to help that family, this just won't work.
Oh, well, you answer the door. I'll go and try to figure something out.
Yeah, do that. Come in.
Hello, George.
Should have looked first.
Say, I was over here a little while ago, but the door was locked.
Really? Care to step outside and see if it'll happen again?
Well, later I might, but right now I want to tell you about the wonderful idea I've got. George, how would you like to go into vaudeville with me?
Vaudeville?
I've memorized that whole book of humorous stories and anecdotes. We'll call the act Meredith Wilson and Straight Man.
Meredith Wilson and Straight Man.
He's the fellow who asked the comedian the question.
I know that. I know what he does, Meredith. You explain that.
Well, I think we can make a go of it, George. Vaudeville isn't dead.
Well, believe me, this will do it. Meredith Wilson and Straight Man.
Yeah.
Isn't that too much billing for me? How about just Meredith Wilson and Man? Or Meredith Wilson and Straight.
Well, that's okay.
Or Straight Meredith Wilson.
That's okay, George, as long as they spell Wilson with two L's. You know, lots of people think my name is spelled with one L, and they go around calling me Wilson. But it's Wilson with two L's.
And now they can call you Wilson.
Yes.
Yes. Sounds better with two L's. Look, Meredith, forget this vaudeville idea.
But gosh, George, I ought to capitalize on those stories. Can you suggest any better thing I can do with my joke book?
Meredith, believe me, no one wants to hear that Joe Miller collection of yours.
Oh, I made up some new ones myself to sort of sprinkle around among the others.
Oh, you got a few sprinklers?
Yes. For example, I say to you, say, George, do you know what the Marine said when he landed on the island of Caledonia and tried to take it from the Japs?
No, Meredith. What did the Marine say when he landed on the island of Caledonia and tried to take it from the Japs?
He said, Caledonia, Caledonia, what makes your beachhead so hard?
Meredith, you make a nice living playing music on our show. Why don't you let it go at that?
Because, George, I feel that no opportunity should be lost to bring a smile or a chuckle to this glum old world. My mother's that way. She gave the world something to laugh at.
And I had to hire it for my program.
Well, to get back to our vaudeville
act... Forget the vaudeville act. I'm not going to be your straight man.
But, gee, I am...
Come in.
Well, hi, George.
There's your man, Meredith. There he is. Bill is going to be your straight man.
Straight man for what?
My vaudeville act, Bill. Huh? I got a humdinger of an opening. We meet in the center of the stage, and I say to you, pardon me, would you give me $10 for a cup of coffee? And you say, isn't that a lot for a cup of coffee? Whereupon I reply, well, I'm a big tipper. Then I walk off the stage and leave you standing there.
You're not going to leave me standing there, not after that.
Well, I think we can work that out, but just let's run through the joke and see if you've got it. Pardon me, would you give me $10 for a cup of coffee?
I'd give you $100 for a cup of Maxwell House coffee.
Well, I'm a big tipper. Bill, I don't think it's quite as funny that way.
Well, Meredith, I can't help it. You see, that's the way I feel about Maxwell House. I'd give anything for it because Maxwell House is so appetizing, rich, full-bodied, and mellow. Coffee at its full-flavored best, always good to the last drop.
Meredith, knowing the way Bill feels about Maxwell House, I'd suggest you change cup of coffee in the joke to donut.
Okay, we'll try it that way. Pardon me, would you give me $10 for a donut?
I would if I knew a cup of Maxwell House coffee went with it. You know, more people buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee in the world.
Well, I'm a big tipper. Now, that didn't seem to help it much. I think maybe you're the best straight man, George.
Bill, if you don't stop talking about Maxwell House coffee, I'll be back in vaudeville.
If I do stop, you'll be back even faster.
Look, comedian, why don't you run along and take the jerk with you?
Okay, come along, Bill.
If Meredith doesn't move out of that house next door, I'll wind up in a straitjacket of all the broken-down jokes.
Well, George, I've worked out a new schedule.
Oh, new schedule.
Yes. For the serviceman and his family. We'll put the parrot on the back porch, and you get the pantry.
How could I sleep in the pantry?
Well, you thought it was good enough for the parrot.
This may surprise you, Gracie, but men don't sleep like parrots. Have you ever heard of a man spending the night hanging on a bar?
W.C. Fields?
I'm wrong. Look, honey, I'm not just thinking of myself. The serviceman and his family would be very uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, I've got a great idea for you. If you can get Meredith Wilson to move away from next door, the serviceman and his family could have that whole house.
Oh, John, that's a wonderful idea.
Well, sure. Then we can rent our den to one ex-serviceman like we planned.
Well, George, I see it all now. I'll go right over and talk to Meredith.
Well, if I do say so myself, that was a smart piece of work.
Well, George, I did it. Meredith loved the idea, and he's turning his house over to that veteran and his family.
And Meredith is moving out.
He's already moved.
Gracie, you're a genius. A great, big, gorgeous genius.
Oh, I'm not so tall.
Now, how can we turn our den over? Now we can turn our den over to some unmarried ex-serviceman.
Yeah, well, I've taken care of that, too. He's out front now. Why don't you help him carry his things in?
Okay. Can I help you?
You sure can, George. You can carry the trunk, and I'll bring my flute.
Meredith, what are you doing here?
Well, didn't Gracie tell you? I'm the ex-serviceman who's going to live here.
What?
Yep, and I know we'll get along swell and have a million laughs.
Now, look.
Now I can tell you the snapper that story.
But, Meredith.
Speaking of what?
Join us again next week when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Meredith Wilson and his orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Goodwin.
Until next Thursday, then, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's number one brand of coffee. Always good to the last drop.
And by the way, folks, although we had some fun today talking about the housing shortage, it really is a serious thing.
That's right. And if anyone listening has a spare room or two that might accommodate a serviceman and his family, it couldn't be put to a better use. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Stay tuned to this station because Dinah Shore's open house is coming on in just a second. Dinah's special guest tonight is Charles Lawton.
Oh, goody, goody, jello pudding tonight. It tastes like grandma's, only more so.
You ain't kidding, that's right. And just as jello's
six delicious locked-in flavors can't be beaten. So the proof of jello pudding's in the eating.
The Jell-O twins are hard to find, but keep on looking in your store. When sugar shortages are over, there'll be more.
Just a taste of jello pudding or of jello and you know. It's the one and only J-E-L-L-O.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.